Good morning, Green Bay Packer fans. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, and this is Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. It's a Tuesday morning. It's April 12th. We're talking Green Bay Packers football and probably getting ready for the NFL draft quite a bit today. Going to be the topic du jour. We've got an interview coming up later today at the bottom of the hour, 8:30, with Packer fan Kurt Cozad. Not only is he a Packer fan, he was a personal friend of Brian Stowe, the San Francisco Giants fan that was injured critically, beaten into a coma while attending a Giants-Dodgers game in Los Angeles. Knew him very closely. So we're excited to talk to Mr. Kurt Cozad to find out a little bit about how Mr. Stowe is doing and how we might be able to contribute to his memorial funds. Fundraisers for him, his family, etc. We'll find out more at the bottom of the hour. Kurt's a great guy, too, so excited just to talk a little bit about Packers football with him on top of the more somber news, but important nonetheless. But good morning, everyone. It's a great time of year, isn't it? I said that Friday, last time I was on air. Watched the Masters over the weekend. Exciting day at the end on Sunday. Just a shame that what happened to the young Rory McIlroy. But so many competitors in the Masters, so many people in it at the end who could win. Of course, Charles Schwartzel ended up being the champion and got to watch some Brewers baseball over the weekend. The Brewers now at 500 after an 0-5, or I suppose it was an 0-4 start to the season. It's pretty good. But yeah, the best time of the year right now is because of the NFL draft coming up. Of course, we're very excited here at Cheesehead TV. As I've said many times, our draft guide has just recently come out. Our moderator today, Alex Talich of the Packers Lounge, and thank you very much, Alex. He is approving all comments today. He says, we sent a copy to Winston Moss, Packers assistant head coach and inside linebackers coach. So our draft guide has gotten into the Packers organization itself, so I'm very happy about that. Do you think they actually consult it? For some reason, I'm not sure they're actually going to consult the draft guide. I'd like to think they are. When they're consulting players, they're down to, like, you know, the seventh round, and they're, you know, like, gosh, who should we pick? Well, let's look at the Cheesehead TV draft guide. No. But it is, we have sent it to him, though, so it has infiltrated 1265 Lombardi Ave somehow, some way. Packers lunches, they probably laugh at it and send it to opponents. Maybe. Excited, some other news here regarding the draft. Just asked yesterday, and I'm not an expert at what exactly is happening yet, but I'm taking part as the Green Bay Packers general manager. I'm playing the part of Ted Thompson in Mach 3. What it is, as I understand it, is a mock draft on Twitter run by fans of their own franchise. So I am playing the part of the Packers general manager. But meanwhile, other fans are playing the general managers of other teams in the NFL. The Lions, the Vikings, the Bears, etc., etc., all 32 teams. And how you follow along with it is you follow the hashtags Mach 3. Not like the razor blade. M-O-C-K. And then I think you actually spell out 3, if I'm correct. Well, I got to check that out. Maybe it is Mach 3, the number, as opposed to spelling it out. I got to check that out. But in the next couple of days, it's going to span several days, because it takes a lot of organization of 32 teams. But spanning several days, an entire mock draft. You follow along, follow the hashtags Mach 3, and you'll see an entire draft play out, all 7 rounds. So what we're trying to do is imitating what the Packers would do. That's my goal, is imitating what the Packers would do in the draft. So when it comes to the 32nd pick in the first round, I'll be making the draft choice for the Packers, and I will have some assistant GMs. If you want to follow them on Twitter, I'm only just getting to know them as well. It is that my assistant GMs are Zach Cruz of allgreenbaypackers.com. I've read some of Zach's stuff before. His Twitter handle is Zach Cruz 2, ZACHKRUSE, the number 2, Zach Cruz 2. And the other assistant GM is GotNext, GotNext. So we'll be having to follow along with the draft, and should be a fun time. So it's just for fun here. We can make trades. I don't know how much I'm going to pursue trades, being the Super Bowl champion. You know, I don't think I have to trade up. You know, if there's value there, I suppose. If somebody slips, that shouldn't. But I mean, these. it's going to be just like the regular NFL draft. I mean, these are hardcore fans doing this. They're not going to let, you know, Blaine Gabbert slip to the 32nd pick. So I will listen to trade offers. Certainly. We will see. And, you know, my plan is to take the best player available, just like Ted Thompson. Just like Ted Thompson, take the best player available, regardless of position. What's the deepest position on the Packers right now? This just makes for good conversation. What is the deepest position on the Packers? Where do you think the Packers do not need a draft choice? Quarterback? I suppose that would be one of them, with Aaron Rodgers and a very good backup in Matt Flynn, and even a number 3 guy with Graham Harrell. Where else are the Packers loaded at? I'm trying to think. You know, it seems like they could use a guy or two at almost every position. We will see. Green Bay Slapshot says tight end. Packers loaded at tight end. Right now they've got JerMichael Finley. They've got Andrew Corliss, last year's rookie. They got Tom Crabtree. So anyway, I was going to make a joke that maybe I will select a tight end in the first round. I'm going to take the best player available. So maybe I think Notre Dame tight end Kyle Rudolph is the best player available late in the first round. He would be the first tight end off the board. Should I take him? At Packers Lounge points out Spencer Havener. If I'm correct here, Spencer Havener is a free agent. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what his status is, how many years he has accumulated, but I think Spencer Havener, he is a free agent, isn't he? I mean, it's a very good chance that Spencer Havener will re-up with the Packers, re-sign with them. But we will see. Anyhow, yes, so the Packers do have some depth at tight end as well. Yeah, Alex asked, I thought he came back at the end of the year, and he did. But I think he just signed a one-year contract, though. So it only took him to the end of the year, if I'm correct. I could certainly be wrong on this, but I think if I'm correct, Spencer Havener, his contract expired at the end of the Super Bowl season here. So just signed a one-year shot. So anyhow, let's get to some of the headlines today. I've left a link at the top of the live blog. If you were to scroll up, left a link to this morning's Packers Daily Links, kind of our roadmap for the show here today. And I haven't mentioned yet, for those of you who've watching the show for the first time, please tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, and your comments will get through to our blog. Or feel free to use the Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player. Or just feel free to comment along. Your comments are being approved today. So anyhow, getting to today's Packers Daily Links. If you click that link at the top, looks a little something like this. Our lead story today, quarterback Aaron Rodgers advances in the Madden cover voting. If you click this link here, it'll take you to PackersNews.com. Reporter Kareem Copeland just has the brief details on what's going on at the voting held at ESPN.com. He writes, quote, Rodgers received 56% of the vote in the quarterfinals against Patriots running back Danny Woodhead. Rodgers is now up against Cleveland Browns running back Peyton Hillis in the semifinal. Down to the final four. You would think that Rodgers could beat Peyton Hillis. Oh, has Peyton Hillis had one good year in the NFL? Wasn't even that good, even. Of course, Danny Woodhead's just had one good year in the NFL as well, so. I mean, I think I saw, you know, somebody was making odds, one of these off Shore, international odds makers making odds on who would win the Madden cover voting, and Aaron Rodgers is like, you know, it's like an even money odds for him to win it all. I mean, it looks like the next round, though, he would take on the winner of Adrian Peterson and Mike Vick. Now that would be a little bit closer. Those are some more worthy opponents, I think. Guys who have established themselves in the NFL can grab a little bit more of the vote. It'd be nice for it to come down between Peterson, the Packers' rival, and Rodgers. It seems like Packers fans come out to vote just like out of the woodwork. You know, every year there's that Click for Cans charity, you know, how can I explain this? Campbell's Soup gives away, you know, just tons of canned soup to the winning team. You know, the local area, you know, right now the Packers won it. So Green Bay Food Pantries, ones across the state of Wisconsin, were the recipients of this donation by Campbell's Soup. And this has been going on for, gosh, over a decade now, hasn't it? I mean, Packer fans just, you know, take ownership of that thing, and the Packers win every year. And, like, they've tried to institute rule changes to make it more even so the Packers don't win the thing. But, no, it's a credit to Packer fans. I mean, that's great that, you know, I live here in Wisconsin, and it's great, I think, that local food pantries are the recipients of this. That's fantastic. So, you know, it just seems that Packer fans just come out in force for things like this. And I have no doubt that Aaron Rodgers will win, even though it might be close in the end. It might be close between a vote between Mike Vick and Aaron Rodgers or Adrian Peterson versus Aaron Rodgers. But I think the Packers will come out on top. Packer fans will once again prevail. Packers Lounge says, I wonder when Campbell's will ever change it to spread the love. And they've tried. Honest to God, they've tried. I forget. They tried to make some rule changes so it wasn't just, you know, gross number of votes. Did they handicap it or something like that? You know, they've tried, but there's really no stopping Packer fans when it comes down to that. So, anyway, expect Aaron Rodgers to be on the cover of Madden to win this thing. Madden 2012. In fact, Alex, I think you need to get on the mock cover. Design one here. Photoshop us a Madden cover with Aaron Rodgers on it. I was watching last week. Danny Woodhead was doing a promotional tour of ESPN, you know, being a guest on practically every show on the ESPN family. He was on First Take and NFL Live, and I think he was doing some ESPN radio appearances, but I think it was on First Take. They actually showed a Patriots fan's rendition of what the cover would look like of Madden 2012 with Danny Woodhead on the cover. And so I'm trying to get on Alex here, design a mock cover of what the cover would look like with Aaron Rodgers on it. We'll try to get it on ESPN. Of course, it was just for those of you who were following along with our conversation on Twitter yesterday. Alex of the Packers Lounge had done a Photoshop of Aaron Rodgers with dreadlocks. I mean, what was this, going back a year ago? Just for fun, just for giggles. And we found out that photo was used on like a local news broadcast in California somewhere. They were actually talking to Aaron Rodgers' parents about his hairstyles. Of course, Aaron Rodgers has been known to change his appearance over the years. Long hair, short hair, mustache, beard or not. And so anyway, just they showed a picture of Alex's Photoshop of Aaron Rodgers with dreadlocks. So Alex knows how to get some attention with his Photoshop capabilities. And of course, he designed every single page of the Cheesehead TV 2011 NFL Draft Guide. He's a star in the making. Taryn for 12 comments, sympathy and a forced admiration for Vic will prevail regretfully. You think so? You think Michael Vick will win? Yeah, I just can't. I mean, there's a lot of fans of Mike Vick out there. But I don't think he can beat Aaron Rodgers, though. I think there's a lot of people who won't vote for Michael Vick out there. Oh, I see Anthony Levine is active on Twitter today. Packers safety, rookie last year, practice squad guy, going to be now vying for a spot on the 53-man roster this upcoming season. Now that he's got a little experience. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the NFL draft and some prospects, some news coming out of Green Bay lately. Go back to today's Packers Data Link, second story down, if we scroll down a little bit. A story here from the National Football Post. Outside linebacker Markell Carter. If you click the link, it'll take you to a page. Looks like this. Reporter Aaron Wilson writes, quote, Central Arkansas outside linebacker defensive end Markell Carter is visiting the Green Bay Packers today, according to a league source with knowledge of the situation. Holy cow, there's some argument about when this is going to happen. This article is dated April 11th, which was yesterday. And it says in the article today, which made it seem like Carter was visiting the Packers yesterday. And then just as I read through our live blog here, and I scroll up and I read Packer Report's response. It says it wasn't yesterday. It's actually today, Tuesday, April 12th. He's visiting the Packers. So just so we get that squared away. But again, just another example here of Ted Thompson and the Green Bay Packers and their scouting department scouring the small college guys, the unheralded players, the diamonds in the rough. I don't think anybody here. I did the Cheesehead TV 2011 NFL draft guide, and I've never heard of Markell Carter today yet. So, news to me about this player. You know, maybe I've seen him on a listing of players somewhere, but nothing more than that. But I mean, that's what the difference between myself and Ted Thompson is. He gets paid the big bucks to actually unearth these guys. Guys like this, the undrafted heroes. And we putting together the draft guide, we had just put a did you know fact in there. I still can't even believe this myself. This past year, the year ended. I mean, the Packers had a lot of injuries, but it still amazes me. The Packers ended last year after the Super Bowl with 5 players on their 53-man roster who were undrafted just last year. Undrafted rookies in 2010, 5 players. 2 of them making pretty significant contributions. Cornerback Sam Shields and outside linebacker Frank Zombo. And then there's a couple other guys who made contributions during the season. You remember running back Dimitri Nance. Got a couple carries here and there, especially early in the season before James Starks got healthy and he came along and emerged. Cornerback Josh Gordy played a little bit on special teams. And then there was also offensive lineman, Nick McDonald. He was on the 53-man roster all year long. So 5 undrafted rookies. Hard to believe how many there were. Taking a look at the Packers Daily Links again. The next article down is about Hilldale quarterback Troy Weatherhead. And Bill Huber of Packer Report did an interview with him. Quite interesting if we read this article. It talks about how he completed over 75% of his passes in the 2010 season. That's astounding. I mean, he is from Hilldale College, which I believe is a Division II school, but still, I don't care what level of football you play at. If you play high school football and you complete over 75% of your passes, that's fantastic. That's amazing. And the Packers attended his pro day. Toward the bottom, Huber wrote, "The Packers were one of a few teams to watch Weatherhead at Division II Grand Valley State's pro day and again at Michigan State. With his record-setting accuracy, he'd make sense to challenge incumbent Graham Harrell as their third quarterback." So again, just some interesting names to keep in the back of your mind as the draft comes up, and even after the draft, when the Packers can finally sign undrafted players, whenever that might be. As we've said before, right now the Packers are barred from signing these guys with the lockout taking place. They can't sign him right now until this lockout ends or a judge orders the lockout to end. I don't know if that'll happen or if it'll happen in time for the draft. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. We're in uncharted territory. Taking a look on Twitter here, some of the comments coming in from Beltify Me says, while I'm taking part in the Mach 3 draft, he says, "I gotta dye my hair silver glory to better play the Ted Thompson part." So I gotta dye my hair white, silver, to play the part of Ted Thompson. I'll have to get myself some what do they call that product that you dye your hair with? I forget the brand name. I don't even know that they have ones that make your hair gray, though. They're all for people with gray hair that want to make it darker. I'm not really too much up on those kind of products. They're kind of have never thought about that before in my life. It's almost the bottom of the hour. It's 8:30. When we come back, I'm going to be talking to Packer fan Kurt Kozad. Once again, a personal friend of the San Francisco Giants fan Brian Stowe, who was injured attending Los Angeles Dodgers game a little over a week ago. We're going to find out an update on his situation and talk to Kurt Kozad. So just hang on. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Corey Hall, fullback for the Packers. You're listening to Railberg Central.
Welcome back. This is Brian Caravu for Railberg Central here on CheeseheadTV.com. And with me on the line right now is Packers fan Kurt Kozad from California. Kurt, how are you this morning?
Oh, good this morning. How about you?
Fantastic. So, to give a little bit of background here, the reason we're having you on the show, I originally met you at the Super Bowl. You and your wife traveled all the way from, I believe it's San Francisco, am I correct?
Actually it's Oak Grove, just south of Sacramento.
Gotcha, okay, so kind of in the same area, but Oak Grove,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, we're about 80 miles.
Gotcha. You went without tickets to see the game, and I know you got tickets to the Super Bowl. We talked before the game, but not after the game. And just tell me, how did it go? For everybody listening out there, how was the experience of attending the Super Bowl?
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, what a better time than go when your team goes and actually wins, which is actually phenomenal. We did get got tickets. We got tickets Friday, before the game. And they were a little bit pricey, but you know what? It's worth the experience. It's a once in a lifetime experience. So it was definitely worth it.
I would say most people would think your fandom runs a little deeper than most. Would you do it again? Would you, if the Packers made the Super Bowl, would you do it all over again?
Absolutely.
Do you have your reservations made for Indianapolis this next year?
Well, you know, I'm hoping that Indy is able to handle, you know, some inclement weather better than Texas did. That's the only thing you know, that was our only drawback, is everybody, you know, experienced the same thing. Because, you know, we were there the Sunday before the Super Bowl, so we ended up staying for, you know, 10 days, and we got to see a little bit of the good weather, and we got to see all the bad weather, and, you know, and all the ramifications that came with not being able to handle, you know, some ice in the roadways and everything being closed and, you know, everything like that. And it was an interesting experience. And I definitely would do it again. And I just hope, like I said, I just hope that Indy would be a little bit more prepared than what Texas was.
Yeah, we're hoping that Indianapolis actually hosts a Super Bowl, and there's actually a football season for them to determine a Super Bowl champion next year. So we'll have to get through that
first.
I guess.
Exactly. I gotta get the CBA done.
Exactly. As we kind of transition for the reason for having you on today to talk about Brian Stowe, first give us a little bit of background about yourself and what you do for a living, and I think that'll kind of give everybody an idea of how you know Brian Stowe.
Right. Well, two things is I'm a captain paramedic for Sacramento Metro Fire here in California. And I also run a firefighter recruitment business called Fire Hire Incorporated. And I met Brian actually in 2001 when he was still an EMT. He's a paramedic now. When he was an EMT, and he tested for my company. And he just made a really good impression on me as a person who's, you know, a really nice person, you know, really cared about the fire service and wanting to get into the fire service and into emergency medicine. And he's tested with me every year from 2001 up to 2006 or 7, and that's when he got hired at AMR, and he hadn't gotten a firefighter position yet, but he is working as a medic, and I kind of watched his progression going all the way from EMT all the way to getting into paramedic, and staying in touch with him during our testing processes and stuff like that, and he's kind of become a friend of mine.
So, okay, now... What happened to Brian Stowe? I mean, here in Wisconsin, we see what's on the national news. We've watched SportsCenter. We've heard about it, but I'm sure you know much more about it. Let's go into the details a little bit about what happened to him when he went to Los Angeles to watch a Giants-Dodgers game.
Right, and you know, he was really excited about going, too. And I talked to a couple of his family members. And, you know, just typical, it's almost like going to the Super Bowl. I mean, it was opening day, you know, against, you know, the Giants, you know, the Giants and the Dodgers, you know, that's a big rivalry, and like the Red Sox and the Yankees. And you know, he was really excited about going down there. But, you know, and it happens. I mean, it's like a lot of times when the Packers go to the 49er game, I go to Candlestick and, you know, wearing full Packer garb. And you know, you do banter back and forth with some of the fans. It's just unfortunate that, you know, that the couple of thugs that were down in L.A. took it to the next level and, you know, decided to, you know, to basically, he got jumped. I mean, he actually texted his, I think it was his brother or his brother-in-law that when he was in the game, he was really scared about his, you know, life when he was inside the stadium because of, I guess, some of the remarks that were made by the people that actually did, you know, that actually assaulted him. And so, from what I understand is that they were actually running away from the guys. The guys were chasing him, and this, unfortunately, Brian wasn't as fast as his friends, and they caught him, and basically, attacked him from the back, hit him in the back of the head, knocked him to the ground, and then proceeded to basically just kick him and kick him and kick him, you know, causing his, you know, a traumatic brain injury.
And so what's the update now? Last I heard, he's, you know, in the hospital and in a coma, if I'm correct. This was a couple days ago, last I heard. I assume that's still the case.
Yeah, they basically had to do the emergency surgery to actually open up his skull and take a piece of his skull out because, unfortunately, whenever you get swelling in the brain, there's no place for it to go. So it's got to release the pressure somehow. So they put a pressure monitor on him at first, and they found out that, you know, the pressure was building up way too fast, so they had to go in and do the emergency surgery and then basically cut a section of his skull out so it could actually expand. And then they put him in a medically induced coma, and right now they're going to be trying to wean him off of the coma and try to get him back out of it, but the problem is with brain injuries and stuff like that, you have a real high tendency to have seizures. So they're keeping him pretty heavily medicated to make sure that he doesn't have any seizures and just trying to take it step by step. There's no real improvement right now. I mean, everything's pretty much the same. He's still, you know, he's still like if he's still in that coma, but they're going to probably over the next week or so try to wean him off and see how he responds because he hasn't responded at all right now, unfortunately.
Now, if I'm correct, and to my knowledge, they're looking for the people who did this. They don't know. They haven't caught anybody yet. And from what I've heard, there's a reward out for the people that did this. What's the situation there?
Yeah, I think the latest I've heard on the reward is like $100,000 for the reward. And they have the drawings of the people that did it. And they... People, PDE, I mean, they're doing their job, obviously, because there's hundreds of people there that witnessed it. So they're just hoping that the people come forward, and I'm sure they're going to get caught, because I'm sure they'll brag about it to somebody, and somebody's going to want the $100,000, and they're going to turn them in. It's just going to be a matter of time.
Were these people armed? I mean, you said hundreds of people watched. Were they afraid to step in and stop this?
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of times when it comes to, like, gang violence and stuff like that, people really don't want to get involved.
Yeah.
You know, and it's sad. It's sad. It's a sad thing to say that, you know, I mean, there's, you know, massive numbers. You'd think that, you know, if there's enough people there that wanted to get involved, that they would be able to break it up.
Yeah, I guess I would be scared, too, knowing if this person has a gun or a knife or something, you know. But it's a shame.
Exactly.
What was Brian like as a person? You knew him personally. You worked with him a little bit. He's got family, kids. What's his family
he's
like?
Kids. He's got two kids and a wife, and he works for in San Jose for American Medical Response. He is a really super nice guy. Very nice guy. Very conscientious paramedic. Loves doing his job and. Like I said, my interaction with them has been nothing but positive.
And fundraisers have kind of already been going on. I think the Dodgers just yesterday held a fundraiser at their game at the park. Tommy Lasorda was a part of it. But I think there's been some others as well. What's been done already and how did they go over?
Actually, they went over really well. Last night I heard that the drive-thru at the Dodger Stadium actually netted $61,000.
Wow, that's fantastic.
And that's incredible. Yeah, that's really incredible. And Tommy Lasorda himself put in a $5,000 check. So, you know, that's very respectful and just absolutely amazing. But the other fundraisers, you know, they've had a couple. There's a place called Pizza by Heart, which is located in the Bay Area. And it's a pizza parlor, and they gave 30% of all their proceeds for one day to Brian. And from what I understand from some of the people I talked to, there's 4-hour waits for pizza. And a couple of the pizza places actually ran out of food. And at one of them, there's a place called Una Mas, which is a Mexican restaurant next to the Pizza My Heart. They actually stepped up after they ran out of food and said, hey, everybody can come over here and we'll offer the same thing.
Great. For those people listening today who want to help, how can people help out, contribute? Is there a website? Is there a phone number
yes,
they can
is.
Call? I've actually got pulled up on my screen right now a website people can watch if they're watching the show live, supportforstow.blogspot.com. I don't know if that's the primary site. Go ahead.
No, that's actually the blog site where you can actually, you know, make comments and stuff. The actual website is www.support, then the number 4, and then Brian, which is BryanStow.com. And that actually has the updates on somebody on his medical stuff and then also all of the fundraisers.
Great. Kurt, thank you so much for coming on the show today, giving us an update. Hopefully next time we talk, it'll be under better circumstances, but this is a great cause, obviously. And thank you for coming on and talking to us this morning.
I'm up on Brian, and, you know, whatever people can donate, you know, it's so much appreciated because, you know, his medical expenses will over exceed what AMR will be able to handle and take care of, and you know, it's going to a good cause, and, you know, make sure that he gets better, and, you know, and his kids are taken care of.
Kurt, thank you so much for joining us today. Take care, and have a good day out there in sunny California.
Thanks, Brian. Yeah, you too.
Okay, see you later. Yeah, go Pack, go. See ya. Kurt Cozad of Sacramento, California, a personal friend of Brian Stowe, the San Francisco Giants fan, critically injured while attending a Los Angeles Dodgers game. So from one Packer fan to another, if you have a chance and you could spare just even a couple dollars, I'm sure it would be greatly appreciated. And can somebody out there put the website on our live blog? Just I think it's www.supportforbrianstowe.com, just so people, you know, we'll put the podcasted version of this interview, the show, up on cheeseheadtv.com. And when people listen to the podcasted version, they can go to the live blog and click the link and take them to the website. If somebody would, one of the listeners would put up the link to that website, that would be greatly appreciated. So we have it for posterity then. People listening later, checking out the website later, can check it out. So thanks to Kurt, and Kurt, diehard Packer fan as well. As he reminds me, he's a San Francisco Giants fan, and I get on him for that a little bit, being here in Wisconsin and being a Brewers fan. But no, we find the middle ground with the Packers, and had a chance to meet Kurt and his wife at the Super Bowl this past year. Great people, and wish them nothing but the best. Thank you for putting that link up there, Alex, as well. So if you have a chance, make a donation, and I'm sure the family would greatly appreciate it. So wrapping up the show today, about 8:45, and, you know, just talking a little bit, you know, about the draft. I think that's, you know, the thing that's on everybody's mind here, the NFL draft. What's, you know, what's going to happen? What are the Packers going to do? Somewhere in the Daily Links, I've kind of lost track where we left off here, but I know one of the stories I've put up comes from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, their blog, and I'll just show the screenshot here of the Journal Sentinel and what's going on. And one of their writers, Rick Clower, had noticed that Ohio State defensive lineman Cameron Hayward is kind of a name that's popping up quite a bit in mock drafts. You know, way back before the NFL Combine, even back in February, so we're talking late January, maybe early February, I had put up a post at cheeseheadtv.com looking at mock drafts, internet mock drafts, you know, not even, you know, the experts like Mel Kiper, but just looking around every mock draft I could find. And I just, you know, who do they predict to go to the Packers? And the name that popped up the most was Cameron Hayward, Ohio State defensive lineman. And seeing as his name popped up so much, I actually had the opportunity to speak to Mr. Hayward, the son of Craig Ironhead Hayward. Those of you old enough to know that name, you don't have to be too old. I mean, certainly if you're like me and right around 30 years old or older, you should know that name. Craig Ironhead Hayward was a fullback with the New Orleans Saints back in about the late 80s or so, perhaps early 90s. Name I remember well. He was just known with a name like Ironhead. He just put his helmet down, his shoulders down, and ran over people. This is his son. And I had asked Cameron Hayward, the younger, at the NFL Combine, if he pays attention to mock drafts. And he said, no, I've got to stop. Which was kind of, that didn't jive. First he said no, and then he said he's got to stop looking at mock drafts. So I ribbed him about that a little bit. I said, no, but you got to stop. So you mean to tell me you have been looking at mock drafts? And he says, yeah, I was injured. Of course, he's got the elbow injury. If you know a little bit about Cameron Hayward, he injured his elbow in the bowl game. They faced Arkansas, and I believe it was the Sugar Bowl this past, just the most recent season, his senior year. And actually had to have Tommy John surgery. Good thing he's not a Major League Baseball pitcher. That would be a cause for concern, but, any injury is cause for concern. But better an elbow than a knee, I suppose, for a football player. Or at least a non-quarterback football player. And so, anyhow, I ribbed him a little bit about the mock drafts. And thinking that perhaps he's seen his name going to the Packers a bit. And so we just joked about that very briefly, and thought that was interesting that he says he's got to stop looking at mock drafts. So if you're out there listening, yeah, Cameron Hayward, he has been paying attention, has seen his name go to the Packers. And it just got to let it play out. Whether the Packers will take him or not is a matter of debate. We've talked about the defensive line on this show quite a bit. Talked about how Cullen Jenkins is expected to leave in free agency, how Johnny Jolly is in trouble with the law, and it's looking like he's not going to be back. Obviously, Johnny Jolly won't. So the Packers could use some depth along the defensive line. I had seen an article just the other day. I think it was written by Mike Vandermause of the Green Bay Press Gazette, and he listed what he thought the top needs of the Packers were, and certainly everybody's opinion is different. I realize the Packers are not going to have Cullen Jenkins back, and they're not going to have Johnny Jolly, but I just don't think the Packers' biggest need, in my opinion, is the defensive line. I mean, you just look at what is expected to be their defensive line this upcoming season. They've got a great nose tackle with B.J. Raji. They've got a solid defensive end who's been playing in the league for years in Ryan Pickett. And then opposite him, you've probably got Mike Neal, the rookie last year, ended up on injured reserve, but still a second round draft choice last year. He's going to be looked to have a much larger role this upcoming season. Now, beyond that, you look at the two deep, the second string defensive line. You got Howard Green at nose tackle, the guy the Packers picked up on waivers this past year. Going to come back around for another go of it. And he played such a big role for the Packers last season in 2010 and them winning the Super Bowl. So they're pretty set there at nose tackle. Then on the ends, you've got last year's rookie, C.J. Wilson, who started in the Super Bowl for them. So you've got a starting Super Bowl defensive lineman coming back. And then you've got Jarius Wynn, a draft choice from 2 years ago, will now be a third-year player at the other defensive end. So there's six guys. And then, on top of that, you've got Justin Harrell. And I believe you have a practice squad guy from last year as well. There's eight players on the defensive line the Packers have returning. Now, but I suppose you can make the argument that you don't know if last year's rookies Mike Neal and C.J. Wilson are going to pan out and be, you know, real solid guys in the NFL. I can see where somebody can make that argument. And I can see the Packers adding some depth along the defensive line at some point. It's not like I think they have to spend a first-round draft choice to fill a hole, this gaping hole, because I don't think there is a gaping hole. I don't think there's any hole on the defensive line. Could they use some depth? Could they draft a guy who, you know, develops and becomes a nice player? Sure. Is it a need? No. That's my opinion. That's my take on the situation. So, you know, should the Packers draft Cameron Hayward, by all means, I welcome a defensive lineman with open arms. You know, I just say it all the time. Ted Thompson drafts the best player available. If he thinks he's the best player available late in the first round, let's say at number 32, considering the Packers don't trade it, by all means, hope he has a great career with the Packers or wherever he ends up. So, you know, it's just Ted Thompson is going to draft the best player available. We were talking before how the Packers are stacked at tight end and quarterback. I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, for all we know, Ted Thompson will go out and draft a tight end or a quarterback. There's just been rumors lately that the Packers are looking at Jake Locker, Washington quarterback. He's a guy who's expected to go late in the first round. Could you imagine the Packers drafting him? And you know what? If they did, it wouldn't shock me. It would surprise me, I suppose. I mean, you sit here and you look at Matt Flynn is in the last year of his contract. He's going to be gone by next season for sure. I mean, unless the Packers resign him, but you just think that they won't. You assume they won't. Matt Flynn's going to be looking for a spot where he's going to start in the NFL. Or the Packers could trade him. It's a possibility. It's been, you know, there's many rumors out there about that, that's something that could happen. It can't happen until they resolve this whole CBA situation. But it could happen either this year or next year. So how could you imagine that? Jake Locker being the first-round draft choice of the Packers. I mean, even if the Packers were to deal Matt Flynn ASAP, and Jake Locker as your backup, I'm still not sure that's the best use of your draft choice and perhaps the best use of the best player available philosophy. You know, he would never play unless, you know, Aaron Rodgers got hurt or there's a blowout one way or another. So I kind of disagree with that philosophy to an extent. I mean, I can't argue with the results. Ted Thompson has done a fantastic job and has for years with the Packers. I can't argue with the results, but I'm kind of a guy who looks at best player available and need kind of simultaneously kind of go with those hand in hand. Yeah, I personally wouldn't draft like a quarterback, even if I thought he was the best player available this year. Just for example, Jake Locker's on the board. I think he is the best player in the NFL. I still would have a hard time seeing the Packers draft him, just because I don't think it's a great use of that draft choice in the first round. Could I see the Packers drafting a quarterback later on in the mid rounds, in the late rounds? Absolutely. Just don't think it would be the greatest use of a first rounder. I think there's other places where people might be able to contribute a little faster and a little more at other positions. So that's my thought on the situation. Take it for what you will. And that's a good way to end today. A little bit of draft talk. It's just about the top of the hour at 9 o'clock. thanks for joining us today, everybody. Thanks for Kurt Kozad for coming on the show, informing us a little bit about his friend Brian Stowe. And thank you, everybody, for joining us, listening in, watching live at CheeseheadTV.com. Thank you to Alex Talich, our moderator today. And have a good Tuesday, everyone. We will see you later.